Good morning, church. Hallelujah. The Lord is good and His mercy. And let's get rid of this churchy cliches and bring the word of God. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Amen. It sounds better than God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Hallelujah. Shifted. 21 shift. Everybody say, 2021 shifted. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your wonderful presence today. Holy Ghost, this is your service this morning. I pray that you speak to your people, Father God. As I've always said, hide me, Lord, from them so that they hear your voice. They listen to what you say this morning. Jesus, you said, let them who have ears hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Father God, I thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is everlasting to everlasting. Your word is power. Your word guides us, Lord, and your word lasts forever. Everything that will pass away, but God, your word will stay on forever. And Father God, we thank you. I bring this word before you today. What you have shown me and taught me. Father God, I bring this to your people this morning. I pray, Father, for an open heart. Those that are here this morning to receive your word. Let your word transform our life, O God. Thank you that you will watch over your word to fulfill it. That it shall not come back void, but it shall accomplish everything that it is purposed for do. God, we thank you. I give you praise. I give you honor. I give you glory. For you are worthy and worthy of all our praise, all our worship, Lord God. We love you and we honor you. In Yeshua's mighty name, I pray. Everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Welcome those who are watching us on live stream this morning in PNG, all up in the southern part of Queensland and all the way in Blacktown as well. There's a family, my brother watching there with his family. It was a wonderful privilege to meet them, and they are actually following our live stream as well. So this is a very important medium to reach out to the people who are far away from this from here, and they're receiving the word of God, same as you are receiving it this morning. Hallelujah. Those of you who are visiting us this morning, welcome. And I think I'm looking at all the part of the furniture. Hallelujah. Well, listen to me. I want to bring something to you this morning that is of utmost importance for year 2021. We are now not people that are shifting. We are shifted. We're already in a place that we're of a shifted mindset. Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. Every day, your mind has to be renewed by the Word of God. And I believe that the heaven has shifted in 2021. And we must be people that are with heaven. Hallelujah. Because our prayer says, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if God's will is for you and I to grow, you and I to achieve greatness in the kingdom of God, then so be it. Hallelujah. Because that's heaven's purpose for you and I. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I want to start by saying this. The words of the great apostle Paul, he says in 2 Timothy let me just rephrase that. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 7, it says, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. That's a good prayer to pray this morning. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. I believe the Lord is giving us an insight into the things, and this is making it really clear for us this morning. He's trying to bring to us this morning something, because he's brought to me this word, and it was confirmed by so many that I was so excited about that, and I'll explain to you later. In Philippians chapter 3, it says, chapter 3 verse 15, it says, therefore, let us as many as are mature, somebody say mature, hallelujah, have this mind that in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. God will teach you and allow you to understand everything that comes from His Word. He will not let it be so confusing for you. He says, God will reveal even this to you. There are many things or many times that I have had these thoughts in my head or my questions. It's the questions that I have, and I know that you have the same question. How many of you, you probably have the same question and thoughts as well? And that is, God, why don't you tell us exactly what you want us to do, just like the way you've been talking to the people of the Old Testament? Do you think like that sometimes? Or is it just me thinking about these things? Sometimes when you read the Bible, sometimes when you're having your time with God, and you've always this question, God, why don't you just tell me something directly, like I can be able to bring that to the people, or even in my own walking with you. I'll give you the answer that God reveals every time we ask questions like that. God does not always provide us with, listen to me, immediate guidance and answers to our questions. Why? I'll tell you why. That is an experience that we must all learn, and I've learned that too. Because in our human tendencies, we would quickly begin to seek the answers rather than the giver of the answer. Somebody say amen to that. We are so good at wanting answers from God. God doesn't want you to seek answers from Him. God wants you to seek Him first. Hallelujah. The word seek He first, the kingdom of God, and my righteousness, and then all that shall be added unto you. That is a principle that God operates by. The word, the message title this morning is Seek God First and Not an Experience. Seek Him first. Hallelujah. That is why our human tendencies will always fall onto the answers more than the giver of the answer. That's the key part of what I'm going to bring to you this morning. Yahweh is far more interested in you pursuing Him more than you doing everything right. Somebody say amen to that. More than you do everything perfect. He is seeking you to pursue Him. Your relationship with Him is more important than just doing things perfect before Him. Think about this for a minute. This is an example, and I want to illustrate that. And I'll use my family as an example to you. Think about this for a minute. Which would you prefer? I'm talking to mothers and fathers and those who have children. Which would you prefer? For your son or your daughter to never do anything wrong and to be perfectly following your commands or rules in the house, but to show you no real affection and love? Would you rather have that, or would you prefer an imperfect son or a daughter, hallelujah, which many of us have, who make mistakes often, but who comes running and screaming, Dad, Mom, with so much love and affection that are so real. Hallelujah. This is how God deals with you and I. Jesus said, only if you become like these children. That is a simple ask that God wants us to do. My children are not perfect. When I get home from work, I long to hear this amazing yell and they scream, Dad, you're home. And they run out and just jump all over you and grab you when they come back from a long time away from home. But now they can't do that because they're too big. They'll knock you flat. So I kind of stand away from them. Hang on a minute. Let's just shake hands for a while. And that's really their love and affection. That's the genuine love that your children give to you, even though they're imperfect. Hallelujah. This is how God deals with our lives. This is no Bible revelation, my friends. This is from the Word of God. It is scriptural how God deals with us. And this is what God wants. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, it says, these people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. Hallelujah. This is a kingdom of God principle right here. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment of God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. It says, but if anyone loves God, this one is known by Him. God says, if you love me, truly love me, then I know you. I have a relationship with you. He says, if anyone loves God, this one, God says, I know. Why? Because he has a genuine love relationship with me. That's what God is saying to us this morning. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 to 4. God is speaking to the church. And he says, I know your works. your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. That's great, God says. And you have tested those who say they're apostles and are not. Very good. And I have found them liars. Great. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Wonderful. And then he says, nevertheless, hallelujah, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. All that is great, God says, but I don't have a relationship with you. I don't feel nothing from you. Hallelujah. This is God speaking to us this morning. This is very important for us to understand. Being a follower of Christ is about what? Explicit obedience. I said that last week. This is the theme for the church. Explicit obedience. In Pidgin, we say, I didn't talk with them long, long, taso. Or long, long, I didn't talk, taso. If you're a Papua New Guinean, you understand exactly what I'm saying. It says, just obey God. Don't think twice about it. Obey God. That's really what it says. Don't be so confused about everything. You have the Holy Ghost with you. When He speaks, you know it's from God. You obey God. That's it. Hallelujah. And to follow the commands of Christ, the constitution of the kingdom of God, which is what I'm holding in my hands, which you call the Bible, hallelujah, teaches us that God's love language is what? Obedience. Everybody say obedience. Obedience. Say it loud in your spirit. Obedience. Obedience. Hallelujah. That's God's love language. Nothing else is closer to that. In section 1, John, subsection 5, article 3. For you religious people, it's 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Hallelujah. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Hallelujah. God says, when you obey my word, it is not burdensome. Our human tendencies are always fighting against what God tells us to do. When Paul spoke that word on 1 Samuel chapter 23, we didn't talk about these things. I just asked him to come and share the word for the communion. God dropped that word, which was aligned with this message this morning. Hallelujah. Obedience is so powerful. We must remember that our obedience must be motivated by our love for God. And it must never be a substitute for anything. Your love for God costs you to obey God. Hallelujah. Obedience is one of the greatest weapons against the devil. Somebody say amen to that. Somebody should say, Pastor, I can vouch for that. Hallelujah. When we obey the laws and the principles of God, everything that life throws at you, I don't care what it is, your obedience within the Word of God breaks those things down. It protects you from whatever comes against you. Hallelujah. Life is not hard. It's obeying the Word of God that's hard. Life is so easy. Life would be easy if we are people of obedience to the Word of God. God gave us 10 commandments. Now we have thousands of laws to try and keep us in line in the country. God says, follow 10 and your life is going to be great. Hallelujah. It's so easy. We make it hard for ourselves. We make life hard for ourselves because we walk in disobedience to God's Word. Life is not hard. Obedience is hard because obedience goes against every human tendencies and every human thing that you have goes against the word of God every time God speaks. Because we feel like we need to do everything ourselves the way we think it's right. Hallelujah. Our human nature fights against obedience every day. Also, please know that God is not going to wait until you are perfectly obedient before He starts blessing you. Hallelujah, somebody. You got to understand these things. God is not going to wait till you're, a person of obedience before He blesses you. He starts to bless you when you pick up His word and go, God, I'm going to obey this one word for this week. 1 week, I'm going to stand on His word and I'm going to obey it. When you start doing this, you'll start to see the manifestation of His blessing coming in. That's His goodness towards us. When I pray, I say, God, thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, and your love. These are the things that enable me to walk with you. Hallelujah. He starts rewarding you in your sincere progress right away. Somebody say amen to that. Somebody say, Pastor, I can testify to that. It won't always be on how you think, because our ways are not like God's. God's ways are higher than our ways. You and I can never comprehend God. Hallelujah. We're just snorkeling in the things of God. You need to scuba dive in there to find God and find what God really wants for you. Snorkeling really won't get you anything. You see lovely things and fish, but when you get in there, hallelujah, with the scuba gear and everything else, you start to see the beauty of what God wants for us. Hallelujah. I would never have made it. Listen to me, my friends. I would never have made it if God at first demanded perfection before he helped me. If God demands perfection before he helped me, we are going to be in trouble. That's God's grace towards you. God is so graceful. He says, come as you are. Bring all the gory parts of your story. Bring your rubbish with you. Carry the whole bag of rubbish with you. Come to me. I'm the one that's going to clean you up and fix you up. You don't have to be made perfect to come to God. God says, come as you are. As unholy and unrighteous as you are, come. Because that's my job. I'm the one that's going to clean you up and make you holy again. Hallelujah. I wouldn't have ever made it if God first demanded perfection in my life. Instead, he gave me much grace. Hallelujah. To help my weakness along the way. Pastoring this church is God's grace. It is God's grace that I'm able to stand here and speak to you. This was never in my plan, hallelujah. I never wanted to pastor any church. Why? I don't want your problems. Ha! Pastors suffer too much from stress and all this because of people. I said, no, God, I don't want that. Let them keep their problems. I'm happy with my own problems. I've got enough of my own. Hallelujah. We all grow up despising weakness. And we long to be strong and self-confident and self-sufficient. Our parents keep telling me, be strong, be confident, be self-sufficient. And we become like that. And let me tell you something. Unknown to many of us, these things God absolutely despises. Why? Because they set us up to be independent from Him. When you are taught to be independent and taught to be strong and all that stuff, then you become independent of God. You say, I don't need God. I can do this on my own. That's what the world is doing, and that's what the world is teaching you to do. Kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. The kingdom of God operates totally opposite to how the world thinks. God uses massive amounts of brokenness in our lives. Why? To teach us that he desires us to be weak in ourselves, but be strong in him. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Blessed are you who are poor in the spirit. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Humility is the greatest thing in the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 18, verse 2 to 4. It says, when Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, he said to his disciples, unless you are converted and become as little children, he says, you will never or by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Wow. That's how God speaks. The world speaks differently, but heaven speaks totally different from that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Things are opposite in the kingdom of God. We become strong by becoming weak. And we are exalted by humbling ourselves. That's how God operates. Hallelujah. It was a wonderful morning on Saturday morning when we had this prayer. Prayer meeting, I love prayer meetings because we come together and pray and see God's face together as a church. And it was so wonderful. And Judith and I so needed prayer. I stand here and give so much. Both of us, we do so much. Give to the people. Receive from God, give it to the people. And sometimes we need your prayers. Hallelujah. And it was so good when the team, the people, the leaders decided we're going to pray for Pastor and Judith and myself. And they gathered around us and anointed us with oil. And there were so many beautiful prayers, powerful prayers. I felt electric shocks coming from all over. It was like God reviving me again, ready for 2021. I'm refreshed, revived, and ready to fire. Hallelujah. But it was so good. There were so many great prayers that morning. But the prayer that Mama Julie prayed struck a chord in my spirit. And it hit the nail on the head right there of my own life and my own testimony. And he prayed according to what God has taken me through. She prayed, sorry. And she prayed a beautiful prayer, and that really touched me. And it's talking about my weakness before God. She said, God, it is because this man is weak before you. That's why he's strong in you. I tell you, my spirit becomes so revived from this prayer. It is through the confession of my weakness, our weakness, that God has made us strong to be able to pastor this church. Hallelujah. It is through my confession, our confession, that we don't know nothing about pastoring a church. That he says, now I can use you. Why? Because you don't have to rely on your own knowledge of a Bible college graduate certificate degree that you carry and put out in your little picture frame on your wall. You don't rely on that stuff. You're going to rely on me. God says, now that you don't have that, now you can listen to me. Now I can pastor this church for you. This is God pastoring his church, not me. I'm just a servant like yourself. Hallelujah. And that is how, when Mama Julie prayed that prayer, it is according to exactly what God has showed me in my own life. When we become weak in him, he becomes strong for us. I became like Moses. God, I don't know how to lead these people. If you're not in this, I don't want to be in it. This is the kind of prayer you should be praying. God, I don't know anything. You lead me. You guide me. God will step in. When we become so dependent on our own knowledge that we learn from university or school or from things that you've already, your degree, God will leave you alone and say, you do what you want to do. Until you turn around and say, God, I need you to guide me through this. Are you listening to me this morning? Children, are you listening to me this morning? Students and teachers and all those who are listening to me this morning, listen to God's principles. It is through my confession that I am weak that God became strong for me. Because you don't have experience, I will lead you and guide you. You don't have a Bible college graduate, I will lead you and guide you. Hallelujah. You're a perfect candidate. I had to trust God for this. Hallelujah. I never wanted to be standing here speaking to you. That is not what I was heading planning in my life. But God had a different plan. Hallelujah. That allowance gives me confidence and fire in my belly to continue the work and what he has already given in my hands to complete. Today, because my dependence is on him and it remains in him, I am experiencing God's grace in an astonishing ways that no human understanding can explain to me. Hallelujah. That is my testimony. This is my testimony to you. I share it because I want to illustrate the teachings of Christ, increasing your faith in him and bringing glory to him. That's the reason why we share testimony. And they shall overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Hallelujah. You may be sitting here this morning and asking a question or being discouraged and saying, you know, God has never done that for me, or God has never spoken to me like that. But listen, I've got some great news for you. You want to hear the great news? Let me tell you the great news. God is not a God of favoritism. God is no respecter of men. Hallelujah. But he is completely sovereign and gets to pour out his grace, hallelujah, exactly how he pleases. That's him. You and I, our job is to just trust him, love him, obey him, and walk with him. John chapter 3, verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You cannot receive anything from God unless it's given from heaven. That's including everything that you have. These are all blessings from God. They're given from heaven. Heaven ordained that for you. Hallelujah. We must keep in mind that when we're comparing God's providence in the lives of others with ours, never compare yourself with others. This is great teachings that we're doing right here, which is going to be taught in our discipleship training. But our discipleship training starts in your home groups. We're going to raise up disciples inside their own home. Hallelujah. God primarily stewards his grace according to our mission, our obedience, and our humility. depending on Him. Humility, humbling yourself to be able to depend on Him. God hates independence. If you're a person that's independent every day, God will leave you alone. You will never see the power and the manifestation of God's power in your life. Hallelujah. Because everything you do on your own strength. Can I suggest to you something? So if someone is experiencing God's grace as a result of their obedience, let me tell you something. That doesn't make them better than us. Are you listening to me? It doesn't make them better than us, but it certainly makes them better off. Why? Because they are people that apply principles and obey the word of God. When people obey the word of God and walk like that and they get blessed, it doesn't make them better than you. But they're better off than you. Why? Because they are people of principle. They apply the word of God in their lives. Hallelujah. A woman yelled out, remember the story? Yelled out and said, "Jesus, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you." Listen to Jesus' answer. He broke that right now because I believe he did that so that they don't worship his mother. He says, Jesus said, look in Luke chapter 11, verse 28. He says, "Blessed rather those who hear my words," or hear the word of God and obey it. Hallelujah. This woman yelled out, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you." She said, this is the kingdom. I'll tell you what the kingdom principle is. Blessed are those that hear God's word and obey it. He broke something so that people don't stop worshiping what this woman said. A little bit late too, because people are already worshiping what she said. Hello, somebody. But Jesus didn't want that to happen. He broke that, but it's up to you and I to see his word and say. See, I'd rather believe what Jesus said and not anybody else that says something in the Bible. Because every time somebody says something in the Bible, Jesus comes against it straight away. When he asks that young ruler, the young ruler comes up and says, "I've done everything. I've obeyed the law and everything." He says, "Okay, good. That's wonderful. Now go sell everything. Give it to the poor. Come follow me." Broke something in their life straight away. And that's why we don't like it. Why? Because God's answer to your prayers is not going to be what you want to hear. Oh, somebody, hallelujah. You got to understand God. God doesn't give you the answer the way you want the answer to come. He gives it to you differently. Hallelujah. Do you want to be even better off with God than you are doing right now? Then start applying His word in your life. Stop coveting after other people's experiences. Have your own. Instead, focus on obeying God and you will experience Him. How He wants you to experience. Your experience in God is not the same as my experience in God. Kevin's experience in God is not the same as Matala's experience in God. They're all different. Hallelujah. But it's still a blessing and an experience in God. God wants us to know Him in power, not just in word. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 17 says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." God's word is power. When it's released, it does something in your spirit. There's conviction in your spirit. It's not just some nice words of wisdom. It's great power that comes with it. I got saved when somebody preached to me Noah's Ark. Something that I've read in a Bible story and I've seen it in picture form. And Noah's Ark. But when that word came, hallelujah, it came with such power that it transformed me. I have never heard the story of Noah's Ark with so much power. And that's what the word of God does to you. When it comes, and if you're a person that's sitting there going, "God, I'm here to receive something from you today," it will change you. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words, but of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." We are people of spirit. We worship God in truth and in spirit. Everything God does, He deals with the Spirit. You cannot change a man until the Spirit is changed inside of them. Hallelujah. Therefore, everything we do must be in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." Hallelujah. God wants you to experience not just this word, but the power of the transformation that comes with it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. This is Paul saying to, listen, you know my lifestyle. I didn't speak on my own wisdom. Our gospel, what I speak, came to you with the power of the Holy Ghost. You know my lifestyle, how I live, how I move, how I do everything in Christ. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 to 5. I'm giving you some powerful scriptures here. It says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Hallelujah. God wants you to experience His power. And the power comes when you walk in obedience. Hallelujah. Obedience, I'm telling you, is such a powerful concept. But remember, experience must be subject to Scripture. Even though not every godly experience we may have will be found in Scripture. Hello, somebody. Have you ever experienced that? Nevertheless, I'll tell you something. Satan always capitalizes on our ignorance. And if something that you experience doesn't connect to Scripture, careful. Check Scripture. Make sure that your experience in God connects to Scripture. Hallelujah. We must seek God. That's why we must seek God and not experience. Satan capitalized on that. Weeping, or the statues of Mary weeping. What's that? Hallelujah. Gold teeth. Glory dust. All this stuff. Make sure you align everything that happens that you see according to the Word of God. Don't just believe everything that happens. Satan can counterfeit miracles. That's why God says, don't follow after signs and wonders. Come follow after me. Obey my word. Stay on my word. Bible says you shall know them by their fruits. Hallelujah. You may not know many things in the kingdom of God, but you can know people by their fruits. I can smell a false prophet like a rat from miles. Doesn't take me long. It takes one word from him, I know he's not from God. Hallelujah. So be careful. We can't know everything except by the fruits of the people. David said, Psalm 145, verse 18, God is near to all that call on Him in truth. Not just call on Him in truth. And the reverse, that is also very true. God is not near those who call on Him in error. Hello, somebody. Be careful. That's why we have to be so concerned or so caught up in studying the Word of God, making sure that the Holy Spirit, listen, He's given us the Holy Ghost. Nothing can take you away from the Word of God because the Holy Spirit is with you to teach you and give you clarity to the Word of God. We live in dangerous times. The Bible warns us of false prophets and false teachers. See, if I move in error in a major doctrine, I'll tell you something that will happen. God will distance Himself from me. I sense God's presence every time. If I say something and God is not in it, I sense His presence that is distanced from me. I've seen the Holy Spirit leave. I've seen the Holy Spirit arrive in the church service and then leave just like that because somebody said something wrong or offended the Holy Spirit. Be careful what we do. My mind can be convinced that I was right, but the fruit in my heart, see, the fruit of the Spirit is inside your heart. So it will always tell you something is not right. That will tell you to go back and restudy the Word of God again or humbly reconsider your beliefs on the subject that you are actually being erred on. Something very important for us to understand. So be careful. I want to summarize this message today by the word that Paul shared in communion. And that's really what the word is the powerful principle that God wants to bring to us this morning. Remember the story of King Saul in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15, and you heard it this morning. But I'm going to give it to you the way God gave it to me. Hallelujah. It was told, Saul was told that to take a city. You read 1 Samuel 15. Take the city and kill everything in the city, including all the animals. Not just one, all the animals. Listen very carefully to what God says. While they were killing all the animals, he ran into some beautiful ones. kill everything else, but oh, these are nice. I like these ones. Sheep and this cattle. Let's keep these ones so that we can sacrifice it to God. Sounds like a good thing, amen? Everyone hears the word sacrifice, oh, that's a good thing. Let's just sacrifice something to God. He told the soldiers, don't kill that one. He said, I want to use them to worship God with it. Now, that sounds like a good thing, but be careful, because everyone hears this worshiping God, and they go, oh, that's great. At least we're worshiping God. Hang on a minute. Bible says, he brought the animals back to the camp, and Samuel came to check because the Lord had told him. And the prophet said to Saul, did you obey the Lord? He didn't talk about the worship. He didn't talk about the other ministry. He says, did you obey the Lord? Saul said, yes, I did. I did what the Lord said. Then Samuel said, then why am I hearing sheep and cattle? What is all these sounds of animals that I'm hearing right now? Didn't God tell you to go and wipe out everything? Here's Samuel's explanation. This is Saul's explanation to Samuel. And it's found in verse 20 of the chapter 15. And Saul says, but I did listen to the Lord, Saul answered. He sent me on a mission, and I went. I captured King Agag and destroyed his nation. Wonderful. All the animals were going to be destroyed anyway. Great. That's why the army brought the best sheep and the cattle to Gilgal as sacrifice to the Lord. And Saul was like, man, I did the great thing. I'm so excited about that. Listen to Samuel's answer to Saul. He says, tell me, Samuel said, does the Lord really want the sacrifice and the offerings? No, he doesn't want your sacrifice. He wants you to what? Obey him. All he asked you to do was to simply obey his commands. He didn't want the sacrifice. He didn't tell you to go and keep animals to sacrifice him. He says, just obey God. Rebelling against God. Listen to Sam's words. He says, rebelling against God or disobeying him because you are proud is just as bad as worshiping idols or asking them for advice. Hallelujah. You refuse to do what God told you, so God has decided that you cannot be king. Listen, the point of this scripture is this. Everything's devil will use good things. But God is not interested in good things. He's interested in the right things. Good is different from right. God is always after the right things, not the good things. The world is full of good things. We're all doing good things, I mean. But is it right in God? That's the key question we have to ask. Is it right that we are doing these great things? God is not interested in the good things we're doing. He's interested in the right things and obeying his word. What he says, we hear and we move with it. And it starts with individual lives, my friends. Not just with the church. You are the church when we come together. But your life, own individual life, is so important to God. Because how can a church become disciplined when individual people are not disciplined in the kingdom? Hallelujah. Christianity is a religion, my friends. God never came to establish Christianity. Christianity, that name, Christian, that you are walking around having a title like that, a pagan gave you that name. God never gave you the name Christian. You are a follower of Jesus. You are a kingdom-minded person. Everything that you do has to be kingdom. If you're still suffering in Christianity, I pray that you get out of it this morning. Get out of it and don't leave 2021 like a Christian. Leave like a follower of Jesus Christ. Because that word has watered down. This religion has crept into the church. We've brought so much of the world's rubbish into the church that we can't even see the God, but the power of God and the manifestation of his power anymore. Hallelujah. And Saul's explanation was like most Christians' explanation anyway. I'm doing this for God. That's what Christians say. I'm doing this for God. Hallelujah. I want to go and plant this church. I want to go and preach the gospel. I want to do this. I want to do that. I'm doing it for God. God says, no. It's not what you're doing for me. It's what I tell you to do. Did I tell you to go and plant the church? Did I tell you to go and do this? Did I tell you to go and do that? No, you didn't hear me. That's all great, but you disobeyed my commands. Hallelujah. Church, you've got to get this into your spirit today. Get it into your spirit. Every little thing that God says, we must obey. If we are going to see this church blow out and grow and become effective in this city, then obey God's word. Children, obey your parents' words. Why? Because your parents are priests unto the house. And when they speak, they're representing God. And if you disobey God, them, you're disobeying God. All the children said, amen. I'm not hearing you, children. Say amen. Hallelujah. It is important for us to understand that. All our children must understand when you disobey your parent, you're disobeying God. Why? God gives them the word to give to you. They're your priest unto you. They look after you. When you get out of the house, then you're on your own. But unless you are in my house, I am the priest unto you. I'm your boss. When I say and speak, God is speaking. That's the end of the story. No argument about that. And all my sons said, amen, Dad. Hallelujah. King Saul took the thing that destroyed the right thing. Good things destroyed the right things. We have to understand this principle. You refuse to do what God told you. So God has decided that you cannot be king anymore. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obeying the laws of God, my friends, is better than singing in the choir. Somebody say amen to that. Obeying the laws of God instead of serving in any ministry. Obeying the laws of God is better than preaching the gospel. It's obeying. Hallelujah. And we must put that first before anything else. Friends, you and I will find more of God's presence as we bring more of our thinking in line with His thinking as well. God says, seek ye first my kingdom and my righteousness. That means align yourself. Position your righteousness. Listen to me. Righteousness is not just coming to church and having fellowship and being whole. It's not. Righteousness is aligning yourself with the Word of God. Who God is, that's who you want to be. The holiness, that word holiness, let me just break that down for you. In Hebrew, it means one. Holiness is not just wearing a big robe and a big cross and a collared shirt and walk around like you're holy. Holiness is you aligning yourself with God and you are one with God's word. That's holiness. The Hebrews say to God, God of Israel, Isaac, and Jacob. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God of Israel is what? One. I am one. Why? I am one with my word. I don't have any ulterior motives when I say things. That's why you and I can believe His word and stand on His word and obey His word and see the manifestation of the power that comes with His word. He is one with His word. That's holiness. Positioning yourself with God. Obeying His commands. Hallelujah. There are two choosings in the kingdom, in a relationship with God. He loves and chooses us first, which gives us the ability to what? Love Him back. It's not a one-side affair here. If He chooses you and loves you, then He expects you to choose Him and love Him as well. But you also have to love Him back with His what? Correct love language. What is His correct love language? Everybody say, obedience. When we obey the Word of God, you love God. When you love God, you will obey His Word. His love and obedience go together. That's His language. Love language. Worshiping God doesn't do anything for you. Reading the Bible and studying the Word doesn't do anything for you until you obey it and apply it and walk in it. That's when the power begins to happen in your life. Hallelujah. When I look at Mama Julia and I look at all the Mama Alice and I said, man, you guys look really young in your age. And you know, I said, it's God. It's walking in obedience to the Word of God. You know, if I want to learn something, I learn from them. I don't go to Bible college. Why? They're leading by example. They're living example of God's goodness, grace, and mercy upon their lives. Even though they go through all the little bits and pieces in the middle, God preserves them and protects them. Why? That's His testimony. We see glory of God revealed through them. The glory of God. And the whole earth is full of the glory of God. Where does the glory of God come from? From you, my friends. You carry the Spirit of God inside of you. Therefore, you reveal His glory. It doesn't come from just the trees or the animals or the plants and on the sea. You are the one that was created in His image. And you reveal His glory every time you walk. When we see God's testimonies like that in your life, I thank God for your life. Why? Because that's you revealing His glory. Hallelujah. God's language is, love language is obedience. It is not emotional worship. Hello, somebody. You don't just love God and go, oh, I worship, because your heart may be so far away somewhere and it's just lip service to God. Hello, somebody. It is important for us. That's why God says, don't come and worship me with your lip and your heart is far away from me. It is not just emotional worship. It is not just coming to church and sitting here listening to the word of God. It is not that. You can sit here, go back and disobey God and still live like the devil. Hallelujah. Listen, it's not listening to sermons or having fellowship. Does nothing for you until you start to obey God's word. God's primary love language is obedience. John chapter 14, verse 21 to 23. He who has my commandments and keeps them. Everybody say keep. Keep them. It is he who loves me. Listen to God's word. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. You want to see the manifestation of power of God? Then love him and obey him. Hallelujah. How many of us Christians love God this way? He made it clear to me that this kind of relationship and manifestation presence is available to not just me or the pastor of the church, but to everybody. Move yourself from the place that's dragging you down. Put yourself in the place where you're going to be, you'll make a difference in your own life. That manifestation power is for everybody. Every one of you sitting here this morning, that is for you. Not just for those who are pastoring churches and serving in the church and doing all the things of the church. It's for everybody. Every one of you sitting here today. The Bible is full of passages that say that God does more for those who what? Fear and obey Him. Here are some of the verses in the scripture, and that's for your own study. I haven't put it screen. Yeah. But I'm going to give it to you, and you can go on the live stream, listen to it again, and take those scriptures. I'll go to them slowly. Psalm 25, verse 12 and verse 14. Psalm 112, verse 1. Psalm 128, verse 4. Psalm 147, verse 11. Proverbs 3, 32. Proverbs 15:29. Sounds like you're at a bingo. Somebody said bingo. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. And John chapter 14, verse 21. Why am I giving you the scriptures? Everything that we bring to you now in this church will be studied in our home groups. Our home groups are going to be places where we build and disciple people. Your house becomes your training college. We're going to be there talking about the scriptures, teaching it, praying it, understanding it so that you can walk in obedience to the word of God. You want to see power manifestation of the church of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Then start to walk in obedience. Every little thing that you do in 2021 or 2020, gone. Everything that has become an idol to you, stop it. Everything that's tradition and doesn't bring truth, get rid of it. Hallelujah. Because 2021 is not going to be a year like any other year. Don't just hear this message today. Go and listen to it again. Do some studies and then apply it into your life. That's why Paul says to Timothy, study to make yourself approved. People are watching you. The world is watching you. Where does the glory and the manifestation of the love and power of God come from? From you, Timothy. So study the word of God. Make sure that you show yourself approved in the people that you are leading as a pastor. Hallelujah. There are a lot of, listen to me. If wise means to get knowledge and apply it, then let me tell you the opposite of that. Then foolish means to get knowledge and do not apply it. Jesus or God calls it foolishness. There are a lot of educated fools out there. I don't want you to become one of those educated fools. Hallelujah. Ignorance doesn't make you a fool. Knowledge of without obedience makes you a fool. When you know the word of God and you still walk in disobedience to it, God says you are a fool. F-O-O-L. Fool. That's what God says. Strong words, but that's what he says. I didn't say it. You complain to me, I said, go and see Jesus. He said it. Knowledge increases your capacity to be fool. Let me just lock that into scripture that you don't say, oh, Pastor Ben just called me a fool. Let me tell you what Jesus says. Jesus said to the Pharisees, John chapter 15, verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse. Why? For their sin. I have told them the truth. I'm paraphrasing now. Jesus said to the Pharisees and the scribes, he said, if I had not come and spoken my words to you, then you would be excused in your sins. But because I have come and I've told you the truth, then you have no excuse whatsoever. Because you know the truth and you still choose to live like fools. Hallelujah. That's what God is saying to us this morning. My friends, if we call ourselves followers of Christ, then we must diligently, everybody say diligently, diligently follow the teachings of Christ. Explicit obedience. Long do harim talk taso. Hallelujah. No questions asked. When you do, I can promise you one thing, hallelujah, based on the principles of the Word of God and the promises that you and I have in our constitution of the kingdom of heaven, I can promise you this, and I'll go through them one by one. Number one, I can promise you that you will have in 2021 a strong daily awareness of God's presence. Somebody say amen to that. Number two, no anxiety or worry about the future, regardless of what you are going through right now or what the world is doing to you or what coronavirus part two is doing to you. Hallelujah. No anxiety. God has given us not a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Number four, he gives you a clear guidance on major decisions. When you're making decisions, ask God. Seek his advice first. And number five, he warns you in advance of harmful people. Hallelujah. Number six, he warns you before major spiritual attacks. Your spirit will be so sharp when you're a person of obedience that you can pick up things just like that. Your spiritual antenna will be so sharp. You'll be so sharp, you'll just walk down and cut everybody in half. Hallelujah. Ooh, that's a good one. There's a message in that one too. He warns you before major spiritual attacks. He tells you in advance of things that are going to happen in your life. Dreams and visions and all these directions that God gives us. It directs you to have divine encounters with people that need Him. I pray you become a blessing to somebody's life today. I pray that you become an answer to prayer for somebody this morning. Hallelujah. He gives you promise or future promises for the desires of your heart. He empowers you and touches the lives of people all around you almost effortlessly. All when you walk in there, people go, oh man, I just feel good hanging around with this guy or this girl. And there's something about him. People will always say that to you. When I was touring with the band in Yothu Yindi and all these tours I did around the world, people will always watch me and they will say something. It's always the first thing they will say. There's something about you. What is it that's different about you? You don't complain. We're complaining about the bed is too soft in this hotel and the food's rubbish and the plane's late and the train's late and everything else. And we complain about the sound and all this stuff. And nothing comes out of you. You're just walking up this great smile on your face. There's something about you. That's how God reveals His glory, reveals Himself to others around you. And you say, hey, come here a minute. I'll tell you about this kingdom that I live in. I live in two worlds on one earth. Hallelujah. It refreshes your spirit after a tough day. Somebody say, amen to that. I received that, Pastor. And you never feel lonely. You have His presence every time. God's presence is with you. Whether you're alone or with people, it's always with you. Hallelujah. And through all these, my friends, let me tell you this. The Lord will be magnified and glorified through our obedience when we become people of obedience. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm done. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you. Father God, I thank you. Thank you that you have released your word. I pray, Father God, today that this word will not come back void to you. Today I pray that it will accomplish its work in the lives of your people today. Father, those that are making excuses, today the excuse stops. Those who have been peddling around with things that are not of you, thinking that it's just a small little thing, God, I pray that it stops today. I pray that those who have been putting other things before you as an idol, those things stop today. Lord, I pray that each and every man, woman, and children in this building today will not walk out without, Lord, being transformed by the renewing of their mind. Holy Ghost, it is you that does that. And I pray that you do that in their lives right now. I pray those that are doing those things, cause them to be uncomfortable, Lord, in their, whatever they're peddling around with, Father God, that they will know that this is not right for them. It is not right for them. It is not right for their family. It is not right for anybody. And they must make a decision. God, that's my prayer today to your people. I pray your blessing upon them. Everything that we've already bring and shared, oh God. Lord, as we people of obedience, as we come and walk before you, holy and blameless, abiding by every word that comes from you, Lord, we will start to see the true manifestation of what you have promised for the church. I bring your people today before your throne of grace, and I thank you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. May the Lord be blessed, and may you be abundantly blessed in everything that you do. Shalom, peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything restored, made whole, well, and complete. Yeshua's mighty name, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to close your eyes. And I want to lead you I know that there are many here that have walked away from God. There are many here that have backslidden from God. See, backsliding is not a big thing. You don't have to do a big thing to be backsliding from God. Just disobeying God and not doing his commands is a good part to start with. Hallelujah. But I know that those of you who have not given your hearts to Jesus, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And nobody can go to the Father except, or nobody can come to me except by the power of God himself, which is the Holy Ghost that brings you to Jesus. Then Jesus brings you to God. This is how salvation operates. This is how salvation works. Jesus is the door. He said, repent. Turn around from the way you've been thinking. Turn around from your sins. Confess your sins before God so that he can forgive you and start to bless you and carry you through your purpose that he already has asked for you. I want you to pray this prayer after me. If you have never given your heart to Jesus, I want you to stand today. All of you, I want the church to stand. I don't want you to look around. I want you to stand, close your eyes, and raise your hands before God. And I just want to bring this prayer before God this morning to lead you to Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to repeat after me. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin and the way that I've turned my back on you. I come to you now and I repent of all my unrighteous life. I turn away from it all and I turn to you. Your word says that if I come to you in repentance, that you will forgive all my sins. Lord, I come now. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood and for dying on the cross for me, to pay the price in full for all my sin. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I receive your blood to wash me and to make me clean from all sin. Jesus, from this day forward, you are my Lord. Lead me and guide me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can walk with you every day of my life. Thank you for receiving me and forgiving me. I am washed. I am clean. I am born again. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you've said this prayer and you wanted to have a bit more prayer after this, please come and see us. But I want to pray, because I believe that this word is not just released just for us to walk out into the door. If you are going through some things, and you have to be serious with God today, if you have, you are living a life that is not of God and walking in disobedience to God's word, today it has to change, because this year is not going to be the same year like last year. We do not know what is in store for us as a church. I want to pray for you. I want to pray to break something in your life. I want to release an anointing that is upon my life, upon you, so that you can remove yourself from where you are to the place that you're supposed to be in God. There are many who come to church and play lip service to God. Today is not a time to play lip service. I want to pray for you. I want you to be honest to God about the things that you're doing. And let's break this in the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost is going to do something in your life. And from this day forward, I can promise you, if you're a person that does that and walk in humility before God and say, God, I am that person. I need to change. See, churches have just come and give you good messages and tell you to go home. No, we got to get back to the foundational part of this, what God wants is repentance. True repentance in the heart, true obedience in the Word of God, and true submission to the Word of God. Hallelujah. Little things will change. The devil likes to play with little things. All he needs to do is just give you a little thing, and that's it. When you grab all onto that, he's got you. And he can build it up until it destroys you. So I want to pray. I want the music team to sing a song quietly. But I want you to come. If you are this person today, I want you to come. Be honest to God today. I don't want to leave this service today without praying for you. I want to release something upon your life that will break whatever bondage that's holding you back. Whatever God has placed in my life, I want to release it upon you today. Because I believe that you and I have got so much work to do. Not just the pastor of the church. Everybody in this building here today has something in God. Pride will keep you away from God. Pride and anger and all this other stuff, that's the enemy's weapon in your life. Knowing everything in God's word and say, yeah, I know that. No, you don't. If you know that, you'll be here. You'll be coming up the front here and saying, God, I'm sorry for my sins. Hallelujah. I'm serious about these things. I just feel this presence of God, the Spirit of God saying, say these things. Say, I'm not here to please anybody and make people happy. I need to tell you the truth, and let's deal with the truth so that your life becomes strong in God. Every rubbish that you've held on to is gotten rid of in your life so that you can power on for God and become the real person that God has purposed for your life. That's what I want this church to become. Playing church and going to church is finished. No time for that anymore. We're not living in a season of playing church and, oh, I'm going to a nice church down the corner there and this, then, that. No. This is about the kingdom of God operating and functioning in our lives now. Hallelujah. I'm just giving you some strong words like the papa of the house. And receive it like somebody saying, God, thank you. That's my word. Be humble about the things of God. Pride will always keep you from saying, God, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Thank you, visiting. I'm going to give some time for the Holy Spirit to move. And He is the one that's going to convict you. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to give Him time. Every time we come to church, we always pray and then walk out of the door, and that's it. That's church. I don't want church to be like this anymore. I want church that is a place where you come and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry for what I'm doing. I'm not worthy to be called your servant until I am obedient to your word. Hallelujah. I don't care how long you're in church and how many word of God you know. All of us need some things that got to change in our lives. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you. Holy Ghost, you are here today. You are the one that's speaking to your people today. Father, Lord, you know the hearts of your people. You know all our hearts, including my heart, Father God. I put myself in this position as well. Hallelujah. And I thank you, God, for those that are, Lord, honest before you. They're saying there's something in my life. It's not big, it's small. But I need to deal with it. I need to get rid of it. I need to be humble before God to do it. Lord, I thank you. You know the hearts of your people today. Holy Spirit, I pray, convict the hearts of your people today. Whatever little thing that has become an idol in their lives, God, I pray, reveal it to them, convict it to them, convict them so much, oh God, that we become people of cutting edge, understanding times and seasons, oh God, that when we walk and when we talk, Lord, power comes from your word, and not just nice words, oh God, but the power that comes with it. Lord, as I anoint those that are here before you, as I pray, I thank you, Holy Ghost. You are the one that does the change. You are the one that does all the transformation. I am just being obedient to what you say. God, I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah.